The Pharisees are asking about Jesus' blasphemy. Because the Pharisees are religious people who all the time are concerned about the law and their tradition. That was their experience and their knowledge thus far. So when Jesus came to the scene, they evaluated Jesus based on their own experience. Based on our experience, that would be a blasphemy. And then they said here in verse 16, based on our experience, you should not be eating with collectors, tax collectors and sinners. Based on our experience, Mark 2 verse 24, you should not be breaking the Sabbath by doing that. They judge Jesus based on their experience and therefore they never come to a knowledge of Him. What about Jesus' own relation? You see here that in chapter 3, verse 21, His own people are evaluating based on their natural knowledge of Him. They may have known Him as a boy. They may have known how He had lived as a carpenter. And so based on their experience, when Jesus came forth and manifested Himself as the Son of God and the Son of Man, their experience became a hindrance. Now here is Herod. Herod's experience was with John the Baptist. So when Jesus came, he evaluated and said, this must be John the Baptist. Other people say he is a prophet because they know about what prophets do. Other people say he's Elijah because they know about what Elijah did. They think it's similar. Think about that. How do we evaluate somebody in the kingdom of God? Many people have come and said that, well, you're like Cho Yong-gi. I said, no, there's only one Cho Yong-gi. And I don't want to be him. I don't want to be myself. And then when you begin to move in the spirit, they begin to say, oh, this is like Catherine Kuhlman. No, we don't want to be Catherine Kuhlman. She's not with the Lord. We can learn from her. Because I don't want to wear a skirt. And what about some of you go out preaching and teaching and they say, oh, this is like Peter Tan. And you say, I don't want to be like him. See, most people evaluate, compare you with what they have experienced. Our own experience, good or bad, can be a hindrance to a further revelation of God. To what God is really bringing forth. Perhaps God is bringing something new. And let's break out of our experience. Let's break into what God is manifesting and revealing. Because if all the time when something happens, we say, oh, this is like a Catherine Kuhlman meeting. Who knows, God may have something more than a Catherine Kuhlman's meeting. But we keep limiting ourselves on our experience. And perhaps God sent an angel to you and gave you a manifestation and you say, oh, this is going to be like William Branham. Now, God may want to do some things more than William Branham. So, let's bring out that mold and understand who He is and not be limited by our experience. Now, here's Herod is limiting his Jesus to his experience. And Jesus just kept walking on. He was not really bothered by all these people and what they think. But finally, in Mark 8, verse 27, now Jesus and His disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road He asked His disciples, saying to them, who do men say that I am? Now whatever they say that He was, they limit His anointing. We know Jesus is unlimited, but His manifestation to us becomes limited by who we say that He is. When we say that Jesus is the Savior who has died for our sins, we receive forgiveness of sins. Then our eyes will open and we see Jesus as our healer. Then we were open to the healing ministry of Jesus. Then one day we saw Jesus as our baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Then we receive the baptism in the Spirit. And we see Jesus to be different aspects. And we receive accordingly. Unless we see, we are not transformed. That's the principle of God. I'd like to read a scripture on that principle. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Right? Now in chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Look at the law there. You are transformed into the same image. What is the same image? The image that you see. If you see the image of the Lord blurry, that's how it will be revealed to your life and be transformed. The same image. And that's the reason why all of them could not receive Jesus for who He is, because there were things blocking them from seeing Jesus. The word here in 2 Corinthians 4 is unveiled face. Let's look at the mystery of the unveiled face, because it applies to the Gospel of Mark. If you look at Mark 3 and consider what unveiled face is, it tells you in verse 14, but their minds were hardened, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Now, when it says unveiled face, it's not talking about your physical face anymore. Although he started with the physical face of Moses, he began to transpose it to the spiritual eyes and spiritual faces that we see God with. And he says there's a veil over their hearts. And that was what was happening to all these people in the Gospel of Mark. They cannot see Jesus for who He was. And as long as they cannot see, He can't manifest fully to them. They have to get rid of all these things in their heart. That is why in the Gospel of Mark, there is only one key parable that is recorded. And that's a key to that book in Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. In Mark chapter 4, He says there, in verse 14, Mark 4, 14 onwards, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. The word stumble is scandalizo, which means to be offended. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. Now, the key word here, notice in verse 17, that persecution or tribulation arise for the words, immediately they are stumbled. The word scandalizo is translated offended. They are offended. Now, look here in Mark chapter 6. Why didn't they receive Him? It says here in verse 3, they said, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Scandalizo. They were offended at him. So they were not good ground. The word cannot be sown into them. Their ground was offended. The Pharisees were offended at him. His own people were offended at him. And as long as the offense is there, they could not accept Jesus for who he is. And the word they soon cannot enter into their heart. You find offense mentioned all over in the scriptures. And how it prevents them from coming to know the Lord. It says that all these things will happen for the word's sake. That there will be all these things that will happen and that will cloud. But we need to allow the image to come clearly. Unveil. How are we going to remove that veil? Here in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Jesus says, who, in verse 27, who do men say that I am? So they answered, John the Baptist. We know that came from Herod. Some say Elijah. Others, one of the prophets. But, and then he said to them, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. We know Matthew 16 gives us detail. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now at that point is where we are going to cross reference to Matthew 16. Verse 16. When he said, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now the moment he released that confession, the blessing came. The moment he released the confession, Jesus blessed him. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So he's talking about the Father revealing it to Peter. That is what we call a revelation. A revelation is something that comes from God to us. Not we to Him. You say, how do we put ourselves in the position of revelation? Through prayer. Through waiting on God. To asking God to unveil, open our hearts to Him. Because there are so many things in our heart that prevent us from seeing God for who He is. So many blockages. And we need God's light to shine. That is in 2 Corinthians 4. You might as well finish that. Verse 6. It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. As we wait upon God and as we spend time in prayer, God is able to reveal to our hearts, remove all those things in our life. It's just like when everything is dark, you don't know the things that are in a room. But when you turn on the light, you can see properly what are those things that are blocking people and that may cause people to fall and all kinds of things, dirt and all that. You wouldn't know the room was dirty unless the light comes. When the light comes, you see the dirt and you say, oh my God, these things are blocking you, and you start taking them away. So we need the light of God to shine in our hearts. Now something happened in Mark chapter 8. The moment they confess, and remember what I said, it starts with our confession, who we say Jesus is. But that doesn't end the story. You see, when we begin to say who Jesus is, people have been singing that Jesus is our healer, and yet many of them have not got their healing. Many people sing Jehovah Jireh, but they don't seem to have the Jireh part. They still have needs in their life. So here it says, who is Jesus? Notice when Peter says, who Jesus is, at least that begins the process. You see, the key is to say what God says.